today on Anchored in the Word.
The reality is, in the work of God, we are a hindrance in a sense. I mean, we slow the work down more than we speed it up. Sometimes we think we're the greatest thing. When we get to heaven, man, heaven's going to be a better place because we are there. The truth of the matter is, God does all things well. And he's employed you in the work. And the amazing thing is that he can get anything done with us, with the things that are going on in us. But God desires to do this. It's the love relationship.
This is Anchored in the Word, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Coastlands in Eatontown, New Jersey, with our pastor and teacher, Bill Beckelman. Many of us have the propensity to think that God actually needs us. Have you ever thought that God was lucky to have you at the right place at the right time? In today's message, you'll learn from Pastor Bill that it's none other than the love of the Father and his desire for a relationship that he includes us in his work, even when we're a hindrance. At the close of Pastor Bill's message, I'll be sharing with you how you can get a copy of today's broadcast of Anchored in the Word. Subscribe to the podcast or simply get in touch with us. Now here's Pastor Bill in Acts chapter 14 with today's edition of Anchored in the Word.
He makes something out of nothing. Think about that for a while. I mean, people can be creative, right? And I think about a building. It's you ever think about a building? Everything here, all this wood, the wood stuff I'm talking about, and it came from a seed. Think about that. It was a seed at one time. A tree grew. You take the tree, you got to rearrange it, cut it, you know, everything else, do it. You stain it and you do everything to it. The 2x4s, you shape them and you put them in the wall. But it had to come from somewhere. You know, we didn't start that thing. We just took it and we rearranged it and created it and made something, but we didn't make it out of nothing. We had to start with something. We had to start with something. Now, God is the only one in the universe that can make something out of nothing. And that's pretty amazing. Now, the one that can make something out of nothing, there's only one of him. And think about, is anything too hard for God? Is anything too hard for him? One of the things that's said about him is he does all things well. Now, you do some things okay. Some things you do okay at. Some things you may do better than others, but you don't do all things well. You don't do all things well. You may do some things well, but you don't do all things well. There's only one of him. He does all things well. And the question is, why wouldn't we want him to do? He says, I want to do for you. I want to do for you, and I want to do through you. So why wouldn't we want him to do it if he does all things well? Don't we like things done well? I mean, I think most of us, no, I just like mediocre. I'm just shooting for mediocre. Well, the truth be known, I want the stuff done, whatever we do, I want it done well. You know, sometimes it's so much work, it's not worth doing it well, right, or whatever. But God says, I do all things well. And I don't think we don't hear anything in the book of Genesis about God struggled to make the stars. Man, that was a hard one. To get that sun up there, man, that was, you know how hard that was? And then, of course, after the 6 days, it says God took rest. Well, he was tired, of course, because he needed to take a nap after that. That was a lot of work. No. Well, he wasn't tired at all. That we don't have any indication at all that God was tired. He was resting because he was showing us that we need to work 6 days and rest a day. He was setting up the work week for us, okay? That was the idea behind that. He was doing it to show us something, to set up something. It never says that God was wiped out after that. He was about ready to burn out, so he had to take a day off. No, that can happen to people. But he does all things well. Now, so he commends them to the Lord. And then verse 24 says, now they start their journey back. Paul and Barnabas are coming back. They've commended that the churches to the Lord. It was his church. They're his people. They continue, I'm sure, to pray. And after it says, after they passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. Now, when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. From there, they sailed to Antioch. That's where they started, from Antioch. From there, they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work which they had completed. Now, this is, you look at verse 26 and you say, now, where's God's part? Because it says that they completed the work, right? That's what it says. But look what it says. It says, from there they sailed, and it says, when they had been commended to the grace of God for the work which they had completed. So what I'm saying to you is there's a relationship here that God wants to have with us in this, in the kingdom. He wants us to be involved in this. And what I'm talking about this morning is how much of it are we really, you know, responsible for, and how much of it is God? You know what I'm saying? How do we find that place where I'm not trying to do his work? And I like this illustration. It's a great one. Pastor Brian Brodesson said this one time when his children were younger. One of his boys was young. He was having to do the thing that we all hate to do as men, I think. I mean, get under the sink and fix the faucet, right? I mean, that's just a horrible thing. I mean, it's just hard. Water leaking down your face. Your neck is stiff because, you know, you got the cabinet there and you have to lay there and looking up and it's dark in there and it smells from the stuff you've had under the sink, right? It's a hard job to do. So he's doing this at the house. They have and it's not something you can say, oh, don't worry, we can let that go for a while. You can't let your kitchen sink go for a while. You know, it's leaking. So he's under there working, and lo and behold, as hard as it is, you know, that usually entails a couple trips to the hardware store, you know, because you never have the right stuff or whatever, seemingly, when you're doing a plumbing job. So he's under there, and here comes his little son. Wants to crawl up on top of daddy's chest to help him with the work, with the plumbing job. Now, that is the cutest thing you could ever imagine, right? Little Sonny wants to help daddy with the job. I mean, that's cute, but here's the reality to it. This is not going to be help. It really isn't. Not in the short term anyway. It may help, you know, not in the short term when the 4 or 5 or 6 year old wants to get involved in the plumbing job. He's not going to be a help. The truth is he's going to be a hindrance. As far as the work goes, as far as fixing the faucet goes, he's going to be a hindrance. And I would say to you in that illustration, the picture is this is the relationship that we have with the Father. The reality is in the work of God, we are a hindrance in a sense. I mean, we slow the work down more than we speed it up. Sometimes we think we're the greatest thing. And when we get to heaven, man, heaven's going to be a better place because we are there. The truth of the matter is God does all things well. And he's employed you in the work. And the amazing thing is that he can get anything done with us, with the things that are going on in us. But God desires to do this. It's the love relationship. That moment in time when the son crawls up on the dad and that relationship that they have. Yeah, come on, son. Come on, give me a hand. Yeah, let me show you a little bit about plumbing. You know, you need to know this. And even though it's going to take you longer now, it's more of a job now, but it's precious though, isn't it? That interaction that's happening. And I want you to know something. When it comes to the work of God, think about this for a moment. It's not so much the end result that God cares about, because he's going to get that done anyway. It's the process. It's the process of interacting with you that matters to him. He delights in that. He wants that. He wants to bring you in close to him. Come here, son. Come here, daughter. Get involved in this work. You know, because he delights in the fact that you're there. That is the important part, that you're with him, that you're thinking about him, that you desire to help him out. He delights in that, even though you don't have a clue about what you're doing. We're talking about souls of people, and we're talking about heaven and hell, man. We're talking about eternity. Sometimes we think he's entrusted all that to us. Man, that's serious business. If I don't do this, these people might end up in hell. No, it's not like that. That's his job. He's the one that knows everybody's hearts. He's the one that's not going to let anybody, there won't be anybody that'll stand before him on judgment day and say, well, I just didn't hear. I just didn't know. No, that's not going to happen because he has it all worked out. The one who made everything out of nothing knows everybody's hearts, knows what's going on in their hearts at all time, knows exactly what they need to hear at the specific part time, point in time, and he sends somebody to go. So it's a precious thing that God wants to do with us, to enter into this work with us. He wants to work through us. And we will thwart that thing if we don't let God be God in our lives. You know, somebody said this. You ever heard this? I've got this. I've got this. You know, that's a saying that you would use to try and let somebody off the hook, maybe, or not just a, it could be a boast, I guess, but it's just, you know, no thank you, I don't need any help, I've got this. And I would say to you, that's not a good thing for a human being to say necessarily, but I see God saying this. He's the only one that could really ever say that. Now, I don't see him talking like that, but in the truth be known, he's got this. He's the only one that's, he's got this. And many times you need to hear that. I need to hear that when I'm overly involved or I'm holding on to something. I've taken a yoke upon myself that isn't mine and I'm overburdened, man. I am just heavy laden and I have no rest for my soul. And God says, I've got this. I've got this. And now I have to just lay it down. You know, and that's truly, it's something that I choose to do. And that's a worship in a sense, because what it's doing is you're trusting God in that. You're not trusting yourself. You're trusting him more than you trust you. You're laying that down, whatever that would be, your business, your family, the circumstance you're in, your health, whatever that would be, you just give it to God. And I know one of our problems is we do that. Don't we know to do that? But then we take it back sometimes, don't we? We just, yeah, I gave it to God. But then you don't even realize it. You just kind of pick it up without, and then you realize pretty soon you're getting overburdened. Oh, I picked that up again. Oh, Lord, forgive me. Here, let me give it back to you. And that's an important concept for us to understand, that I'm not the Christ, and I don't do all things well. And many of the things that happen to me and my mindset and my heart when I become overburdened are self-inflicted. Ah, it's my fault. I did it. I'm trying to do God's work in the sense that he only can do. So then it says, they sailed to Antioch, where they'd been commended to the grace of God for the work which they had completed. So they finished the work. Lo and behold, isn't that amazing? And look what happened to them along the way. Paul was stoned along the way, left for dead, and then he walked back into the town. Remember that. They had several things happen to them along the way. And what did we learn from that? Well, these guys are great missionaries. They must have been to quite a mission school before they went. No, that wasn't what was happening at all, folks. God went with them. God went before them. He was their rear guard. He was with them the whole time. He is the one that got them through step by step by step. And their part was every single day, when they woke up, was just to rely on him for whatever it was they were to do that day. I have found this, by the way. When we go on short-term missions trips, it's a good example in a small sense where every day is a different day. We're going to do something different every day, but we all get focused in the morning. We do our devotions, and then we meet as a team together. We pray together, and we get one mindset. We're seeking the will of God today for our group. That is what life should consist of every single day. So it says that they went back to where they started from Antioch, where they had been sent out. Now, verse 27, when they had come and gathered the church together, they reported all, check this out, that they had done. No, that's not what it says. I'm just testing you here. They reported all that God had done. You know, we don't need to hear, and it's not, I don't need to hear everything you've done. That's what the world does. They lift man up, they pump people up, whether it be on the social media, whether it be, you know, in sports, whether it be in Hollywood, politics, they pump people up and about what they do and everything else. And you know what? It may make the person feel good, but it doesn't inspire at all. It doesn't, but when we hear the things what God does, man, that inspires. That inspires. They brought the church together to see what God has done. Listen, I don't have a lot of time. I have no time whatsoever, but I want you to look online. Look up this man named Dwayne Miller, Pastor Dwayne Miller. His ministry is God Still Heals Today. And I'll try to give you the short of it. best-selling cassette, I believe it was, at Focus on the Family ever had. People were asking for that one more than any other one. Because what happened, Pastor Dwayne lost his voice as a result of getting the flu, lost his voice for 3 years, couldn't be a pastor anymore, couldn't preach anymore without a voice, right? He was just a whisper. That's all he could do is whisper. Left that church, became part of another Baptist church, and he was a lay leader or whatever he was, and he was told to teach a Sunday school one morning. Adults, right? Sunday school. And, you know, they have a prescribed text that they would be going through every week. They have it laid out. And he did not, he'd been struggling with this for 3 years, and he'd been asking God, why? He didn't understand why this had happened to him. He lost his voice. He couldn't be a preacher anymore. And he said, when I went to that day when he was supposed to teach at Sunday school, he was so depressed. He had a gun that Friday, his wife found him with it, and he was going to use it apparently. And then the Saturday came, and he didn't talk to his wife the whole day. Sunday morning, he had to do the Sunday school with the adults. And he tried calling different people. And this was a big church, and nobody was available to teach that Sunday school. And his dad told him this. He said, when you tell somebody you're going to do something, you're going to do it. So he knew that he wasn't going to not show up because his dad taught him that you need to follow through on something. Now, so he shows up. There's a tape of this. They taped it. And he's whispering. He's got this special microphone, I think he said, near his mouth or something that could pick up his whispers and would black out the crowd noise. And he's teaching, and the verse that he was teaching was from the Psalms, where it says he has forgiven all of our iniquities and healed all of our diseases. And he's teaching through, and he's teaching that he certainly heals. He must heal all of our iniquities, because if he doesn't, you know, he's doing a great job. And he gets to the part about healing, and he said, you know, I'm teaching this that some people believe that healing is not for today, but he says I believe God does heal today. Why he heals some and doesn't heal others, I don't know. And he says, I was thinking to myself, God, why haven't you healed me? So he's talking about the part that says, in the Psalms there that he went down to when you're in the pit. And he said, when he mentioned that word pit in his whispery voice, he'd felt this pressure for 3 years, like it was squeezing on his throat like this. He'd been to 200 doctors. They couldn't figure out what it was. And it says, when he said that word pit, he said the pressure that was on his throat for 3 years was gone. And he began to speak. And you can hear it on the tape. He goes from a whisper to speaking. Powerful. And the congregation starts reacting, because they knew the guy. They knew, you know, he's part of the congregation. And it was a powerful testimony to behold. And so now he goes around and he tells people what God has done. And the focus is always on God. And I was in tears. And I've heard this before. I listened to it before. And I listened to it again yesterday. I was in tears again. Because he was telling the story of what God has done. I don't need to hear how many people are going to see so-and-so or this and that. It becomes all about this person. And that's, it doesn't inspire. It doesn't move your soul. It doesn't feed your soul. What feeds your soul is hearing and what God has done. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God and the things that, man. So listen to that guy. Listen to his testimony as he tells the story about healing. And he still goes around telling, God doesn't heal everybody. I don't know why. But I'll tell you, it's a powerful testimony. So look that up. And so he told the church what God had done. And then he opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. It's not just about the Jewish people. And so it says in verse 28, so they stayed there a long time with the disciples. So they came back from the mission field and they stayed there a long time. Now, so just, you know, as we end, the idea that, you know, God's employed you in the ministry. You know, all of us were in the ministry as Christians. Now, the question becomes, how do you like that? What does it feel like to you? Or are you burned out in it? Are you miserable about it? Or, you know, where are you at in life? What's going on in your life right now? Because some of the things you're experiencing, meaning the feelings you have or whatever, are self-inflicted. It's the way that you're viewing the Lord or not viewing him. You've taken on more, you've taken on God's work instead of just doing what God's called you to do in the process. So for today, he's calling some of us to step up to the plate. He's calling some of us to let go of some of the things that we've been holding on to because they're not for us to be holding on to. We've gone back to our default. We're in control. We're trying to control things. Whatever the case is, it will be maybe different for all of us. But here's what I would say to you. It's about this idea of letting God be God. He is, you know. And he's the God of the universe. And he's given us all things to enjoy. And even though we're living in a sin-soaked world, for Christians, those of us that are redeemed, we can have peace and joy in this life. So if you're living a life without peace and joy in your life, and you're convinced that it's this or that or the other, if I could just get rid of that or get more of that, that would change. That's a lie. Because he's put you right where you are, right now. And he wants you to be content right where you are. Paul says, I've learned to be content wherever he's put me. Whether I have a lot, whether I have nothing. I learned to be content. What did he mean? What did he do? Well, he learned to worship no matter what, instead of worry. Where's the next rock coming from? I go to the next town, they rocked me over there. They're going to rock me when I go over here. I mean, that would be the natural thing to worry about, wouldn't it? How big are the rocks in this town? Or let's go to a place where there's no rocks. What are they going to throw then? Right? That's how we worry. Instead of saying, wait a second, you know, I'm just going to keep doing what I'm called to do and let the rocks fall where they may. So that's what he's calling us to today. Now, he wants us to make some changes, you know, in our lives, some adjustments. Now, the beautiful thing is this is the one, a letting go isn't that hard in the sense. I mean, it's laying something down, you know, it's like lay something down. We've all done that in one way or the other, right? Just lay something down. Take your fingers off of it. You know, it's seems like an easy thing to do, doesn't it? And God's calling us to that today, to let him be God. The worries that I have and the things that I'm perplexed about in life that I can't change anyway, if the truth be known. When the analysis comes in, but I can't worry about it. What did Jesus say about that? Worrying doesn't change one cubit. In other words, it's not going to add 1 inch to your height. Worrying, there's nothing positive about worry at all. It can be negative. They say that worrying can actually affect you physically, right? It makes you a mean person when you worry. You never find worriers that are just beautiful people. Oh, no, they're not. They're not. They're edgy.
The birth and growth of the early church came about because of one thing, the influence of the Holy Spirit. The apostles who had followed Jesus were no more than human beings, not suited to lead a movement or even stand for very long against persecution. However, as soon as the Holy Spirit came on the scene, all of that changed. Peter, John, and the rest of Jesus' devoted followers stepped forward boldly, declaring the truth of the gospel and changing hundreds and thousands of lives. Their courage continued when facing intense opposition from religious leaders, even to death. They knew the truth. How could they stay silent? Today, we too know the truth. We have the early church's example to follow as to what faith can do. And we also have the Holy Spirit on our side. With his help, we too can step out in faith and boldly declare the gospel message with the world. We hope today's message from the book of Acts has lit a fire in your soul and brought you closer to your Savior. If you'd like to hear more from this series, we encourage you to visit our website, anchoredintheword.com. In fact, you'll be able to find several additional teachings from the Bible at this website. We encourage you to share them with friends and family you feel would benefit from hearing them. That's all we have time for today. We pray you continue to seek the power of the Holy Spirit as you walk through this life, and that you continue to be moored in sound doctrine and anchored in the Word.